All right, if you would grab your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 7. That's where we'll start. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And this is one of the hardest places in the Bible to read that is not a name, all right? Right here. And so Paul talking about being saved and living the Christian life, and he's talking about the commandments versus salvation and those kind of things going back and forth. And he says in number 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And so this is one of the spots in the Bible where you're grateful that you are not alone. That's the way we feel. This is the mentality of the Christian. We sit there and I don't know how many times in the week we would sit there and go, "Why did I do that? I know better." Right? That's the spot where, "Why did I do these? I know what I'm supposed to do right there, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I did what I didn't want to do, even though and you get all the twisted brain starts rolling, right? And you start thinking, "Man, I'm terrible and I'm awful, and why would the Lord love me, and why did he save me, and what am I doing?" And what those are our failures, and we get thinking that way. And the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest Christians probably on the planet ever, his answer was, "Yeah, that was me too." Yeah. I mean, we can at least, misery loves company, right? So we can at least be like, "Well, I mean, the Apostle Paul was the same way, all right?" Not, he didn't use it as the excuse for why he sinned. He wasn't like, "Well, you know, I'm destined to fail." But his answer was, "Man, when I do fail, I know why I did it. I did it because in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Paul makes the statement here in verse number 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And so tonight we're gonna cover a few places that are, I'd say they're all familiar to us, but things that Paul knows. What does Paul know? And right here he knows, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." That's where we're going to start. Father, we thank you for the night. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your care of us. Lord, you are amazingly good to us. And Father, I thank you for the prayer requests that went up tonight. I pray that you'd answer each of them, Lord, according to your will and your way, that you would have your hand upon each of them. Lord, for those that are here tonight, I pray as we look at the Word of God, we'd be encouraged by what we do know. And Lord, what Paul knew. And we can know the same things, and I pray we'd take solace in that. Lord, bless us even tonight. Father, be with those who can't be here and those who are hurting and unable to be here. We pray that you'd bless them. Lord, come back soon in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first thing that Paul knows is Paul knows himself enough to know that self-wise, he couldn't be trusted. "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Do you ever notice that some of your biggest mistakes are the days that you trusted you? That you were going to be all right? Like, "Oh, I got that." And then suddenly you think, "What just happened to me?" That's the natural thing. You got to recognize, "Hey, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Paul knew that fact and realized that, and because of that, he would go, hey, guess what? I can't allow these things to be this way. There's a reason we put standards and practices into our life that you could look at the Bible and you could say, well, the Bible, there's no black and white statement in the Bible to say that I cannot do that. And you'd be right. I mean, let's face it, there's not a verse in the Bible that tells you how much time you can spend on your phone. Right? There's no verse in there about how many TV shows you should watch or any of that. There's no screen time limits written down in the Bible. But there's principles in the Bible to help us go, hey, I need to watch out for that. Right? Hey, I need to start putting that back down a little bit. I need to change what I'm doing there. There's no exact verse in there to tell you all the things you could possibly eat and all the things that you can't eat. Now, there's Levitical laws for the Jews, but those don't carry over to the New Testament. In fact, in the New Testament, man, you do whatever you want. Okay? Well, practically, is that a good thing? Well, no, you better put some things in your life, right? We put some things in and say, hey, I'm not going to do these things. There are people we don't go with, and there's places we don't go, and there's things we don't do, and we put them all in there. And some of those things are not because they are wicked things. We put them in because we go, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and if I get there, I'm going to jump to there. The Nazarite vow in the Old Testament, I like to use that sometimes. You know what they couldn't have? They couldn't have any grapes. Are grapes wicked? Well, no, grapes aren't wicked. In fact, we take the Lord's Supper and we have grape juice. Not wicked. It's a picture of the pure blood of the Lamb that was slain at Calvary to pay the debt of our sins. We look at that. The grape, it's a wonderful thing if it's pure, but even a pure one, the Nazarite couldn't have because it could lead him to want something that's not pure. He could get something that was tainted. It was the extra piece of separation for the Nazarite that he was not allowed to have so that he could recognize, hey, some of these pieces in the middle here, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I better put more protection in areas that my flesh is weak. Paul knew it. We know it. But sometimes we don't do the things we're supposed to do to keep us safe. Maybe there's some things in your life that maybe you could do differently because you know that yourself, you know yourself well enough to go, hey, that's an area I'm not as good at. So do something about it. You know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Okay, well, I have a proclivity toward these things. Okay, well, then put something in there to keep you a little bit further from those. Because in you that is in your flesh dwelleth no good thing, and you will do exactly what you can get away with. That's how we live. Your flesh will tell you you can get away with it, and so you'll do it. We've all been there. Well, nobody will know, and all the things, and all the pieces, and all that stuff comes in, and then your answer is, well, I can get away with it. No, you can't. In me that is in my flesh, well, no good thing. Well, then you better do something about that. If you know it, you better protect so that you don't let your flesh run you. Look over at Philippians chapter 4. Say, I am already not excited about this message. All right, amen. Philippians chapter 4. Say, what did Paul know? Paul knew that his flesh was no good. He knew self. If you want to alliterate it, it'd be self right there. That's point number one. Know self. Know thyself. Not like the world talks about that. Well, I got to go get to know myself. No, no, you know enough. You know where the weaknesses are. That's good enough. Start putting up some defenses. Protect. Philippians chapter 4, you know the spot right here. He talks about, you know, be careful for nothing in verse 6. Peace of God in verse 7. What to think on in verse 8. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also were careful. Ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All right, do you know your situation? He says, hey, I can abound or I can suffer want. It doesn't matter. I can be content with whatever's happening around me. Okay, do you know that God can take care? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Right. Well, then whatever the situation is, do you know that you can handle that because the Lord's got everything under control? This is actually really a question about trust. It's a question of faith in God. Well, I don't have what I want to have. Okay, but can you be content because you know that God's got it all taken care of? It's really a question of God and peace with Him. He precedes all of this with the idea of peace. Having peace, knowing peace, understanding peace, having the God of peace. We read that part in verse number 9. The God of peace will be with you. Okay, well then you can be content because you've got Him. Amen. Paul says, man, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know what it's like to feel low and beat up and taken down and feel like nothing's going right and everything's terrible and it's awful and I don't have everything I think I need and I'm confused about what I should have. And then later he's going, yeah, but I know how to abound too. I know how to go ahead and handle when I have abundance and God is blessing me and things have opened up and things are going well. I know both ends of the spectrum and I can handle both ends of the spectrum. I know. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Okay, well, is your situation one that you can be happy and okay and blessed in the Lord because of what's happening? Then no matter what comes, you still are in the place where you know God's got it in control and you are going to be fine? Or do you worry? We worry often. He started the passage, I mean, back there in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Says, hey, how about you give that to the Lord and you can trust Him and have His peace and you can keep that peace and you can have that peace and the God of peace will be with you. But the trouble is, we aren't very good at knowing how to do that. Do you know how to get your cares put on the Lord instead? Because if you do, then you know how to abound and how to be abased. You can handle either one. You can be whatsoever state I am. I can be content. Now, I will say this. Contented does not equal excited. Right? Right? I mean, you can be contented and not be so excited about it. Abundance sometimes gives you the idea that, you know, you're up on that mountain and you're excited. I'm abounding in blessings. And the abased side doesn't feel so great. And so you may not be as excited about that side. But can you be contented in it that the Lord's okay and He's still taking care of you and you don't have to worry about it? Or do you get disgruntled? Discontented. That was the children of Israel. They get discontented all the time. They loathe the bread, this light bread that they have. They hate everything about the trip. Christian, I hope that's not you. I hope you don't hate the trip. I hope you know. And God's got things going on. And He'll take care of it. And even though all the troubles are there, and the problems are there, and the things aren't going the way you want them to go, and just, okay, but be content. God, I know I don't have everything, and I know I'm frustrated, and I know I'm annoyed, and I know, but Lord, I know You got it too, so I'm gonna be contented. I'll trust You've got what's best for me. I really don't like this message. Me neither. Back a couple of chapters, Philippians chapter 1. I like this one. This one will be encouraging. Maybe. We'll see. We'll try it anyways. Philippians chapter 1, just a couple pages back. I'm not planning on preaching long. I only got two more, this one and the next one. Only quarter after. We're doing fine, okay? He's talking about, I'm trying not to read the whole passage, but he's talking about the furtherance of the gospel and he's in bonds and some people preach Christ of contention to, you know, and some people are to get him more affliction. And some people are confident in his, while he's in his bonds, to be able to preach the gospel. He's given them some inspiration there. And he says, verse 18, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul knows the solution. So what's the answer? The answer is that everything's going to be good. This takes you right back to Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul says, hey, this is all good. I know that this shall turn to my salvation. Okay. It doesn't look so good for you, Paul. You're imprisoned and everybody's preaching Christ, and some of them are doing it so you get into more trouble. And you're going to have more trouble, Paul. And I mean, things are not looking so good. In fact, you're probably going to die at the end of all of this. And Paul says, that's fine, whether by life or by death. Everything will be fine. Amen. You know, sometimes the solution of God is death. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Now, we'd think that would be an odd statement. But he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Sometimes his answer is, there's nothing else I'm going to do down there with you. I'm going to bring you up here. I'll take care of all of it. Amen. The sufferings of this present moment are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He says, hey, the things going on here, the sufferings and the problems and the troubles and the trials and all those things, sometimes you know what God says? I don't need you to suffer anymore. I'll just bring you up here. That's not a bad thing. We get to go, and we get to go to heaven, and we have heaven for all of eternity, and everything is fixed. The mortal puts on immortality. The corruptible puts on incorruption. Everything is fixed as soon as we cross into eternity. As the Christian, the answer is, hey, guess what? If it's by life or by death, whether I live, whether I die, I'm the Lord's. He's got it under control. All of these things that Paul knows are based upon his relationship with the only person who can do anything about it. Amen. He knows that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but he also knows that he can be content because God's going to take care of it. He also knows that no matter what happens, everything is going to end. The solution ultimately is going to be God will fix everything. Right. Everything will be taken care of. It will be God's solution to all of my problems. Whatever the problem is, God has the answer for it. And if God has the answer for it, he'll reveal it and he'll take care of it. And whether it's life or it's death, it's fine. Right. Because he always has the right answer. God's answers are always right. He has yet to be wrong. And I can easily say he never will be. He's always going to get it right. I don't understand what he's doing. Yeah, but he's right. I can at least hold on to that. I don't like what he's doing, but I know he's right. I can hold on to that. Well, it doesn't seem fair, okay, but he's right, so I can hold on to that. When we figure out, when we know that God is right, no matter what the situation is, then we go, I can live with that. Amen. I can live with that. I may not like it, but I know, because I know he loves me, I can do that. Amen. I can handle whatever that is. Right. It's much different than a lost world who goes through problems. It's much different than a lost world who'd be in bonds and afflictions. Paul says, no, it's okay. I know. I know it's okay. Go back to 2 Timothy, last one. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I had a few more of these. I didn't write them down. I was thinking, oh, I don't want to go long tonight. Could have squeezed a couple more in here. You know where I'm going with this, probably. 2 Timothy chapter 1. There we go. He says in verse number 12, once again, being a preacher, he suffers. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." All of what Paul is talking about goes back to the idea, he says it in Philippians, that I may know him. And his answer is, I know him. I know him. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. Amen. Not that I'm able. That goes back to in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That goes back to I can be contented in whatever state I'm in because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That goes back to, hey, I'm in bonds and afflictions and the troubles come in and the problems happening, but the Lord told me to preach the gospel. And so whether by life or by death, whether he keeps me alive or he takes me home, everything will be fine because it's all on him. I know that he has it all. And because I know him, everything will be fine. He's keeping record of everything. I don't have to worry that when I get to the judgment, something's going to go wrong. Could you imagine not being sure, right? That's the person who has no idea. They don't know the security that's found in Jesus Christ the day he saved them. Eternal security. Jesus saved me, but I don't know if I get to keep it or if I have to work for it or if he gave it to me or what happened to me. Could you imagine? I can't even imagine living my life like that. Yeah. Not sure of what in the world is happening with my eternity. You could never get anything done for the Lord as you worry about what's going to happen to you for all of eternity. Did I mess it up? If I messed it up, what do I do? Now I got to fix it again. And constantly in fear of that idea. It doesn't work well. Paul says, man, I'm persuaded. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Amen. He's the keeper to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is the one who keeps everything. He's got the records. He's got it all marked down. Whether I remember the exact date and time, I don't. I know what month and I know what year. That's what I got. August of 92, 7 years old. I know where I was. I know what happened. I've got it all in my memory. I couldn't tell you what day it was, but I guarantee in heaven the record's clear. Amen. He's got it. He knows exactly when it was. He knows the exact moment that everything happened and he wrote it down. And ever since there, he's been keeping records. Everything you've ever done for him. Say, nobody knows what I've done. He knows. Yeah. Nobody knows the sacrifices I had to make. He does. Amen. Nobody knows what I've had to put in and the times people have hurt me when I've tried to help them and the times that this has gone wrong, but I was trying to do something for them, the times that I've done things, and nobody knows. Well, he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love and how that you minister to the saints and do minister. He's got it. Well, nobody knows how many hours I put into that. Nobody knows. And it was all behind the scenes. And the Lord says, don't worry, I kept a full tally. Yeah. I got every moment. Amen. He's got it. I know whom I have believed. And I know him. And because I know him, I know he's the righteous judge. I know he loves me. I know he cares about me. I know he wants what's best for me. I know him and I know he's merciful and he's gracious and he's long-suffering. I know him and he wants me. I know him and he cares about me. I know him and he wants to walk with me. I know him and he wants to go ahead and have me be with him for all of eternity. I know. What do you know about him? Do you know him? Then why is your confidence so waning? Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, I know him. Well, then you have nothing to worry about. I know he can help me be better than what my flesh is. If I trust him, he'd give me victory. If I do it his way, he'd give me victory. If I would follow what he said, in me that is in my flesh, well, no good thing. Okay, so then stop living after the flesh. Live after the Spirit. Follow him. I know that whatsoever state I am, I can be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Why? Because I know him. Because he's got it. He's providing. So I can do whatever he asks me to do. Whether I have abundance or whether I have nothing. I can do whatever he wants me to do because he asked. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm fine. Okay, well, I don't know what's happening. I don't like what's happening. Things are going wrong. Okay, well, I can trust that in the end, God's got everything under control too. Because I know whom I have believed. You know the same things Paul knows. Okay, then do with what you know. And the biggest thing I can give you on the whole thing is just keep trusting him. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep looking at him. You don't think it's fair? Okay, talk to him about it. But you know he's right. So what are you going to argue? You know he's got everything under control. You know he's answering. You know he's working. You know he wants to help. You know he's there with you and he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You know he's the friend that sticketh closer than you know him. Right. Well, then be fully persuaded that he's going to go ahead and keep everything that you have going. Because he's the keeper. And he never misses. Amen. Father, I thank you for the night. I pray you would bless us as we go. I thank you for being a marvelous God. Lord, we know you. Most people would spend their entire lives trying to know God, and they're praying to a little stone or gold or silver statue, and they never get to know it because it's a nothing. And we get the God of the universe that we can know. And Lord, I think that's the most important thing, that we can know you and be fully persuaded that you have everything under control because you love us and you care about us. I pray we would apply what we know so that you can get all the glory out of our lives. We love you. I pray you'd come back soon. Keep us safe as we go tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good night. God bless.